The lesson this morning is in Revelation chapter 20. And we've been over these verses now for several weeks, but I want to talk to you this morning about this little season. A little season. Having bound Satan according to the purpose of God. Nothing he does is outside his purpose. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And having bound Satan according to the purpose of God, Revelation 20 verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now look down at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now it is beyond me. I just read this and this thought came to me, so I want to express it before it leaves. It is beyond me how people can think of hell as temporary. The scripture almost always, when it describes hell, uses these terms forever and ever. Almost always. And yet people in their minds, through the deceit of Satan, through the deceit of religion, they talk about hell as though it was a place of temporary. God's going to put you in there for a little while and then he's going to let you out. Our great Lord and Redeemer came down from glory, and by virtue of his glorious person and work has bound the devil for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is symbolic, as most of the numbers here in Revelation are. And it simply means during this gospel age, for a long period of time, he's going to be bound. And he's going to be bound 1,000 years or throughout the gospel age for the salvation of God's elect to the glory of God. That's the purpose of his binding. Were Satan not bound, nobody would believe. Now that's just the truth. I was listening to a hymn coming up here. I recorded several and put them on CD so I can listen to them on my way up to church. And I was listening to the old hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And they were talking about Satan in one of the verses and said, on earth is not his equal. Not his equal. And I listened to these Pentecostals and others, some of these Baptists and different ones, and I hear them on the radio and on the TV, and they're screaming and yelling and talking about telling the devil to go on back to hell where he came from and ordering Satan around. Let me tell you something. The scripture says Satan takes men captive at his will. And So the hymn writer was right. On this earth is not his equal. And were it not for the glorious purpose of God which has bound him and the glorious revelation of Christ's person and work, none would be called. None would be saved. None would believe. And Satan, apart from the restraining hand of God, is always successful. He's always successful, and he's victorious over men. Throughout this gospel age, the gospel has been and shall continue to be the effectual means which God has ordained to deliver chosen sinners out of darkness and bring them under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great God and Father has abounded toward us, the scripture said, in all wisdom and prudence. Who did he abound toward? His elect, those he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he's abounded toward them in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This is a verse I quote to you often over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. John said, "And we know that the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding." Those without understanding are just at the mercy of the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you don't have that understanding given to God's elect, by God himself, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. If you don't have that, you'll just find something in this world that appeals to you and appeals to your character and nature, and you'll swallow it up, and that's where you'll camp out till you die and go out to meet God. Many thousands of years, Satan was free to deceive the nations, and deceive them he did. In Romans chapter 1, it gives us an outline of their idolatry. They had conscience. Every man has a conscience. And they had creation. You can't live in this world and not walk outside and see God's creation. They had conscience and creation, and when they knew God, they refused to glorify him as God, but become vain in their imaginations. The word image comes from the word imagination. That's all images are. But they refused to glorify him as God, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And they changed the glory of God into an image. All kinds of images. All you have to do is get on your computer and type in some of these old cities over there where Paul preached and where the early churches were. Just type in those cities and listen to the gods and all of these images and things that men worshipped in those various cities. They changed the glory of God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Worship God as a man. You know, the scripture says at one point, God said, "You think I'm altogether such a one as yourself. You worship me as though I was like you. You thought I was altogether such a one as yourself." That's what Paul's saying here. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God made into an image like unto corruptible man, and then to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. And there were all throughout the Old Testament. By comparison, only a handful of heathens who were brought to know the true and living God. After the coming of Christ, his gospel went out into all the world, every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue under heaven. Satan was bound. He wasn't allowed to deceive them anymore. And the Lord sent out his gospel into all these nations who were raised in idolatry. They were raised worshiping snakes and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They were raised worshiping God as though he were a man. That was ingrained in them from the time they were born. And yet his gospel went out into these nations, a gospel which they'd never heard. And because he bound Satan, they were enabled to hear it and believe it. And then he tells us at the end of this age, it's going to continue that way. You and I were born in idolatry. Did you know that? Most of us were. We're born in idolatry. Well, you say, I wasn't an idolater. I went to a Baptist church. That's what I'm saying. You were in idolatry. Well, I was raised in a Presbyterian church. That's what I'm saying. You were raised in idolatry. No different than those other ones. But perhaps the image was a little bit more far-fetched than it was, but same thing. And that's the way it will continue throughout this gospel age. And then he tells us that at the end of the age, the end of the time ordained of God, Satan shall once again be loosed upon the nations. And while men always justify their guilt and punishment, they always bring it upon themselves. And yet, at the same time, we see that it's brought upon them by the hand of God. That makes sense? Well, it's so, whether it does or not. We bring punishment upon ourselves, just like Pharaoh. It says Pharaoh hardened his heart. But in another place it said, and God hardened his heart. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, it said, and for this cause God, shall send them strong to delusion to believe a lie and to be damned for believing it. Paul speaks of this little season in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 saying that the day of Christ shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And this is Satan who has entered into the heart of, just like he did the heart of Judas. And when he did, Judas become the son of perdition. And Satan in that day shall go out in strength and deceive the nations once again. I don't believe 2 Thessalonians is talking about a single man. Hollywood's made who knows how many movies talking about the Antichrist, and it always depicts him as an individual. Religion, when they talk about the son of perdition, they always depict him as an individual. That's not what's being taught in 2 Thessalonians 2. He's talking about Antichrist religion. He's talking about whole churches and whole nations. And I personally believe that our Lord's words in Matthew 24:22 are in direct relation to this little season when he says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. They shall be shortened. So here's the first thing. At the close of time, Satan shall be loosed for a little season. Secondly, he tells us why. To go out and deceive the nations who are in the four quarters of the earth. Now these nations, though they're, some of them still do practice bowing down to images like Buddha and different things, but for the most part, it's free will works religion that has spread like wildfire across the earth. And this is what I believe Satan in his power, when he's unloosed, is talking about. He's talking about one religion, not necessarily all Baptist or all Nazarene, but I'm talking about all who believe in the free will of man, all who believe in salvation by works, all who despise the free grace of God, all those who believe in rewards in heaven or the loss of rewards in heaven. This is what's spreading across, and it's universal. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it. The size and power of these churches is immense. It's immense. This is why Satan's going to be loosed. He's going to go out and deceive the nation, those which would receive not the love of the truth. God's going to send them strong delusion. Who is it that deludes men and women? Satan. He's the master deceiver. He's what's behind the beast of government and the beast of religion. Now, the enemies of God have always been scattered throughout the world, and for the most part are all deceived by Satan into believing in a false god. He speaks in Revelation 20, verse 8, of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog's taken out of Ezekiel chapter 38, where the people of the land rose up in opposition to Israel, God's elect, and they rose up against God. And this, he's borrowing that term from there so that we understand what he's talking about. Satan's going to be loosed on these nations so that they're going to gather together in opposition to God and to God's elect. They're going to come and be drawn by their delusion to encompass the camp of God's elect and his holy city, which is, that's his church, is what he's talking about. His church in this world. Gog and Magog represent all the nations of the world who set themselves in opposition to God, his Christ, his gospel, and his people. And Satan's primary work and power is in deception. Don't ever forget that. It's in deception. He's a master of deception. And then thirdly, under the satanic delusion of false religion, all of the nations of the world are going to rise up in opposition to Christ and to his gospel and to the sovereign grace of Christ. And it shall be that way towards the end of time, toward the end of this gospel age. And he's going to be given a free course without restraint to deceive the whole world with a false gospel. Now let me tell you something. We are right now living in an apostate religious world. Are we not? Your heart, go out someday visiting. Get in your car and go out. Go to one of these churches. Go to these places around here. See if I'm telling you the truth. They don't have a clue to what God's doing. Not a clue. Preachers, they go home and some of them at least study and prepare and stand up to preach. They don't get in 1,000 miles of the gospel. Talk about moral reform and obeying the law and how good, there's a goodness in everybody and all this kind of stuff. We're right now living in an apostate religious world. Let me just give you a few things to think about. Today is not the day of scattered and various objects of worship as back in the Dark Ages. There's still some, but not like in the days preceding the coming of Christ into the world as our Redeemer. And there's never been a time when so many have accepted, believed, and promoted the lying ways of Satan as it is today. Roman Catholics and Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists and Anglicans and Campbellites and Pentecostals, Mormons and Russellites, even the Jews and the Muslims and the Hindus, even the Buddhists, all have embraced the heresies of free will justification by works, every one of them. It's in their teaching, it's in their books, it's in their faith. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that it just might be. I can't say for sure. But it just might be that we're living in the little season. Just might be. I can't imagine. I look at religion and I see it's like the dam broke and it's just spilling out and pouring and flooding the whole earth. This is what's going to happen during this little season. It just might be we're in the little season. Might be. But I can tell you this. The condition of the world we're living in is the result of God's judicial reprobation. It's God's hand. It's God's hand. I'm telling you, you can say what you will and do what you will, and you can't stop it. You can't stop it. And I'm hearing this warning more and more from the pastors I know and listen to. They stand up in Ashland. It was said time and again at the conference up in Ashland. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Be careful what you do after you hear. Don't sit and listen real tentatively and then throw it all down and go back to the world. Be careful what you do with what you hear. You're responsible for it. Listen to this scripture. Today. Now listen to all these words. It's not a bunch of big words. It's just some little words. But listen to what he said. Today, if you will hear his voice. Is that what you desire? Is that what we came here for? To hear from God? Today, if you'll hear his voice, now watch this. Harden not your hearts. Don't jump to a bunch of immediate conclusions. Weigh the words carefully. Prove all things. Go home and prove it. I'm trying to prove these things as I go, giving you scripture references, but you go home and look at it again. You prove all things and hold fast that which is true. Be careful what you do with what you hear. While it is called today, he said, that's right now. See, tomorrow you can say today again. But when he says today, and I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 3 how many times he says that, and every time it's capitalized. Today, today, today. Well, here he says it again. While it is called today, exhort one another, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Here again he talks about men hardening their hearts. Well, how do we battle that? How do we resist that? Exhort one another. Isn't that what he said? That's why he tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. When we stand up to preach, it's not a history or a science class, not a public debate. This is where and how the Lord speaks to his people. If he's going to speak, this is how he's going to speak. Well, I can just go out on the lake and hear from God. Go ahead and see how well that works. It don't work. And because men have become so complacent about worship and hearing and are so indifferent about these things and so quick to denounce them and just toss them aside, God has judged them, and many in our day are reprobate. They wouldn't have the truth. Do you know at one time Billy Graham knew the truth, at least in his head, knew the truth, and tossed it aside? Went on to preach things totally contrary to the Word of God. That's judicial reprobation. That's what I'm talking about. And in these verses, he's telling us that God has sovereignly appointed Satan and his hellish religion to secure the damnation of all who will not hear the gospel and will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, how do we recognize these messengers of Satan? Pastor Fortner, in his book on Revelation, gives three things. First of all, he talks about their enchanting miracles. Miracles of their own making. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, he calls them signs. Now watch this. And lying wonders. None of these so-called miracles are undeniable miracles. When Christ performed miracles and his disciples performed miracles, it was raising the dead. These churches that believe in miracles and talk about miracles and talk about all these things and their ability to heal and all that, somebody raised the dead, and I'll believe you. Raise the dead. Have that old leper with happiest face rotted off come up, be thou clean, and he walks away and looks like a newborn baby. Those are miracles. Those are undeniable miracles. But these so-called miracles today are nothing more than lying wonders. Secondly, they have these enchanting miracles. And then secondly, they have evident motives. What am I talking about? Covetousness. Greed. Pride. Reputation. Self-glory. They want to be, and insist on it, to be called reverend. And I'm going to tell you something. No false prophet will ever give God all the glory. He talks about it, but he never does it. He won't do it. How do you recognize them? That's how you recognize them. Evident tokens. And then thirdly, their enticing message. False prophets always mix something with the work of Christ and the grace of God. They always mix something. And all the false prophets, to one degree or another, make salvation dependent upon man. God's done all he can do. Now it's all up to you. All up to man, dependent upon man, man's will and man's decisions and man's works and man's determination. And any man who preaches a conditional grace is a deceiver. God's grace is unconditional. unconditional. And anybody that preaches conditional grace don't know the grace of God. And he's a servant of the devil. Salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God, and it's conditioned upon the work of Christ alone. Now let's go back to my first points. At the end of time, Satan shall be loosed for a little season. And then by an act of God, he shall judge this world by a judicial reprobation brought about by the devil himself. That by the reprobation of this world, they'll find themselves in opposition to Christ in that day. And then lastly, Satan's greatest and by far his largest assault on the kingdom of God shall utterly fail. Our Lord told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All his efforts, though they be worldwide, though they be masses, though they be their number, he said, is as the sand of the sea. A frightening prospect, isn't it? They're going to encompass about the saints. And you can tell right now the saints are gathered in little groups of 30 and 35 and 40 and some of them not even that many. All of they're going to come. Here's these masses of religion gathering around some of these congregations, over 1,000 meeting together, and they encompass the saints all around. Are we encompassed? I'm telling you, there's false religion and false churches all around us. All around us right now. That's why I'm saying it just might be we're living in this little season. Maybe. But I don't care how many gather. When they all get the masses together and they get where victory looks sure, fire's going to fall down out of heaven. It's going to consume them. They're going to be consumed. I hope God will give you ears to hear what I'm saying. The purpose of God will not be frustrated. Not at all. None can stay his hand, the scripture said, or question his will. The truth of God cannot be overturned. His people shall know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The saints of God will not be deceived. They shall all know me, he said, from the least to the greatest. All go know him. And the church of God will suffer no lasting damage at all. Everybody that God purposed to save will be saved. Everything he purposed to do in his church for those saints shall be done. Not a one of them going to be deceived. Not a one of them going to go back. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition. Our Lord said in John 6:38, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, now watch this, I'm not going to lose anything. But I'm going to raise it up at the last day. God's honor, not going to lose anything. Not one iota from the honor of God. God's justice shall lose nothing. God's glory shall suffer no loss. God's church shall be built, and none can prevail against it. And not a single name shall be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. Not a single body shall be left in the grave. You think about it. Not a single hope shall be crushed by the work of the old serpent. They'll encompass the saints in a great show of power and unity, but before they can raise a hand, God's going to give them the victory. Satan shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Somebody said to me the other day, I was talking to them about this message, and they said, Boy, these things you're talking about are frightening. I said, they are if you don't know him. If you don't know him. But if you know him like Elijah, you can just stay in the tent. You don't even have to come out of the tent and look. You already know what's taking place and why. But you know what can't be seen beyond that. And all we can do is pray that the Lord will give those who doubt, give them eyes to see.